Blog Talk Radio.
That fades into the distance. Good evening. Live from Wilmington, North Carolina, one of the spookiest towns on the East Coast. I think number two to Charleston, and probably number two to Savannah, which might be number three. This is a scary town. We're going to be exploring Wilmington here some in future podcasts. This is Dr. John Stamey, live, and welcome to ScaryCast. We've got a great show tonight. We've got great co-hosts. We got great guests. We got a lot of fun people here as I bring the last person on, which is great. So tonight, first of all, I would like to introduce our co-host, the dean of ScaryCast, our one and only Surgeon General, Dr. Trey Dunaway. How are you doing tonight, Trey?
Hey, good evening, John. I'm happy to be here. I was running a little behind, and I'm glad I got right in at the last second.
You sure did. That's just like an online auction that I participated in last night. I looked at the time left when I made my bid, and it was 0 minutes and 0 seconds. So somebody up there liked me when I won that auction. But anyway, Trey, we're glad to have you. We got a lot of fun tonight. We've got some old friends, new friends, and whatever. All right, and who is next? Another co-host from Augusta, Georgia, the one and only Chris Chastain. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, John. I'm doing great. Excited to be here. It, as I always say, it's my favorite night of the week.
You know what? It is mine, too. There's nothing I would rather do on a Monday night from 9 to 10 than ScaryCast, and that's the truth. So anyway, we're glad
it's
to have
best.
You here. And tonight, debuting as a brand new co-host, and we are thrilled to have him. He is someone that knows MindSpeak very well. He is a Bigfoot habituator, and he also happens to be Robin McRae's husband, which kind of gives him a two thumbs up with everybody because we love the Queen of ScaryCast, Robin McRae. So Pat McRae, good evening and welcome as a co-host on ScaryCast.
Good to be here, John. First timer.
We're glad you're here. That's all right. You're a mini timer. I'll tell you what. One of the highest rated episodes we ever had. We had not been able to get a ScaryCast episode going, and so I was there at Pat and Robin's house on Friday night, and I said, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do Mr. and Mrs. Bigfoot," and I swear we must have had 75 people listened to that thing live. It was a lot of fun. Now, Pat, we might have to do that again sometime. Would you be okay with that?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
It was a lot of fun, and so we need to do it again. But anyway, thanks to all of our co-hosts. And tonight we have a new friend and an old friend here. First of all, thank you, Elijah Henderson, a good friend of ScaryCast and a good friend of mine. I told him that we were going to be putting together the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. He said, well, where's that going to be? I said, it's going to be about 35 miles south, north of Asheville. First thing he said was, you need to call Chris. I said, Chris who? He said, Christian McLeod. You got to call him. You got to get him involved. And I called him, and he has been a lot of fun to talk to. I've learned a lot from him. We even did kind of a quickie preview for the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference on Saturday, and so we're glad to have him here. Good evening, Christian. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. John. I'm psyched to be here. This is going to be an awesome time.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And an old friend who was on ScaryCast, I think, about 4 years ago, and I always thought he was from Marion, my family's hometown, but he's from Asheville, but he does work in Marion. Marion's a lovely town. I don't care what anybody says. I like that town. And it's got the creepiest. And first of all, I'm going to say hey to Daniel, then Daniel, we're going to talk about Marion for a second. Daniel, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me again. It's been a while. It's good to be back on the air.
Well, that's great. We're glad to have you. Now, I wanted to ask you something. My mother grew up in Glen Alpine, North Carolina, or if you're from up there, it's Glen Alpine. That's the way they pronounce it. And there is a lake called Lake Tahoma that is still there, correct?
Yes.
And yes, they it is. Have, pardon me?
I just said, yes, it is.
Well, they have what I believe to be one of the scariest structures. It looks like something out of Carnival of Souls, one of the greatest horror films of the late 50s, starring the wonderful Candace Hillegoss. I love that film. It is terrifying. It's still terrifying, and I've probably seen it 15 times. But they have this pavilion out in the lake. And when we would walk out there, me and my parents and usually some friends from Morganton that we would bring up when we would go out to eat at Lake Tahoma Steakhouse, which you probably, you know, I think is a coffee shop now. It's such a shame the Grand Lake Tahoma Steakhouse is no longer a fine dining restaurant. But that pavilion, do you know the pavilion I'm talking about? You walk out on that
the brick
pathway out into the lake. Pardon?
Yeah, it's like a brown brick one.
Yeah, and it is terrifying. I would always get the creeps when I would walk out there. And, I mean, I always thought Lake Tahoma was just one of the most haunted places I've ever been. Now, I'm going to quickly ask Daniel and then Christian. Daniel, do you think Lake Tahoma is haunted? I know I do.
I do. And I think that quite a few bodies of water are pretty haunted, honestly. You know, there's always that connection between water and hauntings that we all know about, and certain lakes are just populated, we'll say.
Populated with dead people is what I would say.
Yeah.
All right. That's great.
Absolutely.
Thank you for weighing in on that. Christian, what do you think about the haunted quality of Lake Tahoma?
Well, it's definitely, you know, got a history. If memory serves, there were some people that died in, I think, the early 40s. They were, like, in their early teens, more maybe late teens. And then prior to that, we have no idea what that area had. We know that was all Cherokee area. So I'm sure it's, you know, there's some kind of residual from something. But, I mean, I remember hearing the, you know, stories of the ghost of Lake Tahoma Dam. So I'm sure it's haunted. I mean, it definitely looks creepy. I know what you're talking about, too, that amphitheater. That thing is creepy. When you go out there, it's just like that hexagonal almost, or, you know, it's kind of scary, definitely. They got something like that in Lake James, or Lake James, too.
I guess here's what I've got to say about Lake Tahoma. I would go out there, and I would get creeped out. And my mom would say, well, don't you want to go back onto the shore? I'd say, no. No, I like it out here, but it's creepy. And she thought I was obviously the craziest boy. I was obviously the craziest 8-year-old in America. But anyway, it was great to relive just a few memories from Lake Tahoma, the great steakhouse, the terrifying, terrifying lake, and that gazebo that you walk out to, and when it is quiet, it is just like, well, the ghosts are coming out. And so anyway, thanks a lot for helping me reminisce just a bit. Gotta love Lake Tahoma. and got to love Marion, North Carolina. It's a great place. So anyway, we're glad to have you here. Now, you gentlemen are what I would consider paranormalists. And to me, that means that you deal with investigating the paranormal, but you also enjoy investigating Bigfoot. Is that correct? And this is like the GE College Bowl. This is a 25-point toss-up. Tell us what you do and what you enjoy doing out there when you go investigate.
Christian, you want to start? Daniel? No, Daniel, go ahead, please. So I've been more of a paranormal guy, although I've always enjoyed cryptid phenomena, and I've had experiences since I was young with both paranormal and cryptid incidents, and I've always been into both, but I've always leaned a little bit more toward paranormal. And Christian and I hooked up probably 5 years ago now, maybe six, I can't remember. And we kind of melded the two disciplines together. Because, you know, there's always the separation between ghost hunters and Bigfoot hunters and UFO hunters, you know, all of the ufologists and the cryptozoologists and paranormalists and things like that. They don't want to get along. I don't believe in that concept. And Christian and I, we definitely have some different viewpoints, but when we go out and investigate, we can get a different, kind of a unique perspective. A lot of times we look at both sides of the spectrum, because I believe one kind of begets the other. In a lot of scenarios, there's a couple places that we investigate on a regular basis that I think there's both cryptid and paranormal, and quite a few theories that we put together about that. But it's great for me just being out in the woods, and you know, there's haunted woods and there's cryptid filled woods, and I love both.
Okay, well that's well put and a nice observation. All right, Christian, what do you guys do? Let's hear your perspective on this.
I think we hit everything from all angles, like, you know, Daniel says. I have a bad habit. You'll have to excuse me, everyone. I call Daniel Tiny. So if you hear me say the word Tiny, I'm actually talking about Daniel. It's a nickname I gave him. I try not to say it because it bugs him sometimes, but I can't help it. Sorry, Daniel. But what we do is we look at things from both aspects, as Daniel said. But we try to approach it from a research point of view, from those both of those aspects. Both if we're doing something cryptid, we look at the paranormal aspect of the area, and if we're doing something paranormal, we look at something from the cryptid aspect of the area. So as Daniel said, they go hand in hand. And the longer you do it, the more you find that it's literally, you know, you'll find one sooner or later if you find the other. So it's kind of what we do. And then, as I said in the other show, you know, we're here to help people. And a lot of times people have, you know, an interaction or something happens, and the first thing that they think to themselves is, this isn't supposed to happen. These things aren't real. What am I seeing? Am I going crazy? And we try to alleviate that and talk through it and tell them, now these things do exist, and you're not going crazy. And we go through the whole story and try and find out how to help them the best we can.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. All right, what I'd like to do is I'd like to call on our panel in the following order to get started. First of all, Pat McCray, who's a Bigfoot habituator, and then Dr. Trey Dunaway, and then Chris Chastain, and then we'll get back to you guys. All right, Pat McCray, have you got a question for our guests?
Yeah, I just want to know, when you guys go out there, do you feel anything? I mean, when you go out, or maybe feel that you're being watched?
You know, I can answer this one first if you want, but I mean, I think for me, definitely, I felt like we've been watched. I mean, we've had stuff thrown at us. You know, we've been in the woods, and then everything just goes quiet. You know, it's just the regular stuff you hear. But yeah, definitely, Daniel, I mean,
you want to comment on that? I mean,
oh yeah, absolutely. When we're in areas that are populated, you know, there's always that feeling of being watched. There's been a couple times I've been in the woods that I've actually been touched. We've heard footsteps right beside us with no explanation. Yeah, there's definitely feeling. Sometimes there's that feeling of foreboding. I felt welcomed in certain areas. That's a little less often. But I wouldn't call anything that I felt yet oppressive or anything. But, yeah, you can definitely feel a presence.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That's a great question, Pat. Dr. Trey Dunaway, do you have a question for these gentlemen?
Well, I was just wondering if they could relate some of their encounters, and specifically, have you had any revelations of things that you totally did not expect that happened to you?
That's a good one. I can speak for myself when I say, I mean, we've had run-ins. I mean, Daniel and I ran into a cynocephali that kind of changed the way we do things. That was at a place. It was a very spiritual place. We were pre-warned that it had been used for Native American rituals for hundreds of years. We're very respectful. We bring offerings, things like that, and that's always been Daniel's kind of the aspect. He'll be the one to say, hey, you know, we need to bring something like an offering of tobacco or just something, you know, that shows we're there to learn and not, you know, just disturb anything. But there was one issue where we were doing that, and Daniel's got the ability to be able to commune with the nature elements around us. I used to think that was kind of ridiculous, and then I met Daniel, and I saw him in action. And I've seen things I can't explain. Daniel will walk into a place with a bad vibe or whatever you want to call it, or an oppressive spirit or something like that, and he has the ability to just walk in and kind of clean it out. So I've seen that happen. I've witnessed that. So in our research, when we go to places, if Daniel thinks that, hey, you know, we need to stay here for a couple minutes and let me commune and let's see what's going on, I just wait for him to give me the okay and the clear. And the one issue we had, we pretty much were getting stalked by a pretty large dog man. And he picked up that one real quick. But, yeah, that was definitely what I would call life-changing, because I didn't mm-hmm. think something like that would be in an area that was so spiritual at the same time.
And what was the encounter like? What happened?
Daniel was meditating on a rock, just like I said, communing. I mean, he can speak for what he was doing. And I just kept feeling like we were being watched. I heard something, and I looked up in the maybe 30 yards up an embankment, and there was just this massive, massive black shadow going behind a big oak tree. And then I see this huge pawed hand come around the corner and starts looking at. And by that time I saw that, Daniel, just out of nowhere, just boom, he's up and he's like, dude, did you see that? And we both reacted, and we just pretty much got out of there after that. But it was to the point where we didn't know what was going to happen, because we kind of came through like this very narrow forested area, and we kept hearing things next to us. We were seeing stuff. There was stuff happening on the ledge in front of us. We were hearing rocks and stuff. Well, it was, for lack of a better word, it was scary, you know. But that's what we did.
That sounds pretty life changing. Now, when you said you saw a big dark shadow, could it be a bear, or how did you determine
was? I saw the head. Daniel saw it. I saw the claw. I saw the hand. I mean, the hand was on the tree.
Okay.
It was picking itself up.
So it was more than a shadow. You could see details.
That'd make quite an impression. I don't usually say anything like this, but you know, I pulled a .357 out, and I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the second time in 26 years I've ever pulled a gun out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like doing that, but I thought that was it. I really did. Because you could hear it, you could feel it. It's not only you could feel the intent.
Right. Well, that would sure make an impression on me.
Yeah, it made a good impression on me.
I can just imagine. It would be terrifying. Now, if anybody wants to see an interesting dogman encounter, you can get the latest edition of Look Up in the Sky, edition 3.5. And I've got a story from Evan Reichert from Kentucky. And he told me about a dogman in his backyard. And he said it was terrifying. And I believe that it was. And so I've tried to relate that as he told it. And so just get a copy of Look Up in the Sky, edition 3.5. And fourth edition will be out at the Burnsville Con, where we're doing the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. So yeah, that's great stories, guys. It really is. Chris Chastain, you are waiting in the wings. What is your question for these gentlemen?
Now let's see if I can condense 12 questions into one. No, the dogman encounter that sounds frightening. And I know one thing I jotted down is you all said that you've been in some places where it was you've actually felt welcome, and I kind of wondered, had you had encounters with Bigfoot, and were those some of the ones that you felt were welcoming, or was that more with the spiritual paranormal realm? Wanted to see if you could give some extra detail on that.
Daniel, you want to answer that one, and then I'll tell him about the time we got grunted at in the haunted forest.
Yeah. So the place that springs to mind when I think of feeling welcomed was it was a very, very special area in the mountains around here, and it was a very spiritual place, and I was actually there. This is one of the times that Christian and I weren't investigating. I was there for a whole nother purpose, and I was with an ex of mine. And me being, you know, the paranormal guy, the guy that tends to feel things, as Christian said, when I was there, I felt very, very welcome. And as kind of far out there as it sounds, like I'm a believer in just nature, spirits, nature.
Mm-hmm.
Nature has its own kind of heartbeat, and
yes.
I felt very welcomed. I actually enjoyed it. Now, that's where my ex actually had her first Bigfoot encounter, is during that time period, and it was tree peeking, and I could not get a picture to save my life because all I had was my phone. It was not a good picture, but we both watched it at us, and there was nothing scary about it. It was actually, she was in tears. And it was definitely life-changing for her, and it was very affirming for me.
That's fantastic.
So you're talking about you and your let's say girlfriend were watching a Bigfoot, and your girlfriend became very emotional. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow.
Boy, we've heard that more than once. I think that's what Robin calls the love bubble.
That's interesting.
I like that term. We got to start using that somewhere.
The love bubble. That's a great phrase. Thanks, Robin McRae, for that one. Well, you know, I'll tell you, in terms of going out in the woods and searching for Bigfoot, I'm always happy when I get a chance to talk to Jen Cruz of the She Squawsers. She is an amazing psychic, and she has had a number of experiences. And she said that she told this filmmaker to stay north of this of a highway, because that's where he would find the Bigfoot. And the filmmaker took a lot of footage, and then he came back to the highway, and he decided to go south. And she had told him not to go south. Well, the first thing that happened is they had 3 to 4 foot inch rocks pummeling their car. Now, a 4 foot, I got news for you guys. A 4 foot rock's huge. Am I correct, Daniel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so the whole point is he didn't listen. And so he called her up that night and said, well, what was happening south of that highway? She said, I told you not to go. There was a reason, and you almost got killed, because they didn't like the fact that you were down there. They were okay with you going north of that state highway, but not south, because apparently there were a lot of activities going on there. And he said, oh, well, maybe I better listen a little bit better next time. She said, well, if you're allowed to go back there the next time, because I don't know if they'll let me tell you where to go now. So anyway, the point is you got to be careful, because these things can really cause you harm. If they're not happy with you, they can terrify you and they can cause you harm. I mean, I had one. I mean, it's a story that's not in one of my books. I was standing there up in Lakemont, Georgia, at my friend's property on this one-lane dirt road. And all of a sudden, I saw a large black object get vaulted over a 50-foot tall pine tree and come crashing down. And I immediately waved. I knew what had happened, because had a Bigfoot come walking down that dirt road, I would have had a stroke or a heart attack. I would have died. I would have been terrified. But, you know, when the Bigfoot just lofts something up above a tree and it comes back down, I knew immediately that was not normal and that was something that had been done to say hello. And that's the way I took it. I knew exactly how to take it, and it was great. But, yeah, you've got to be careful when you are in and around these cryptids. I mean, I've got a good friend who's Scarycast Tuesday co-host. And he always wants to go out to Scape or Swamp in Lee County, in the middle of the state, because that's where the lizard man is seen. And I keep telling him, you know, you don't need to go out there by yourself at night, on Saturday night at 1 in the morning. That's not the time to go out to Scape or Swamp. I mean, you want to come back, and you don't want to just tempt fate. So, you know, people need to be careful. Don't you agree? And I guess this is my question for you, and I'd like for you to answer, Christian, and then you, Daniel, to answer. First of all, Christian, don't you have to be careful when you're out there investigating cryptids?
Safety is our number one priority. I mean, Daniel actually gets annoyed with me because I'm like, all right, you got this, get this. We'll double check, we'll triple check. You know, we make sure we know where we're going. I mean, I probably carry 3 or 4 compasses. We always, even if we're doing a 20-minute, 30-minute investigation, you know, we'll have stuff just in case something happens. You know, so we've got stuff to make a fire. We've got stuff for shelter. We've got food. We've got water. But it's all about safety. And you're 100% right. These things, if you take these things off, I was scouting a place out one time, and I had a log fly over my car. It looked like a pillar. It was probably a 10- or 15-foot log, maybe a foot in diameter. Just goes flying over my car. And I looked over on the right side of my car and see this black flash going between trees. And I'm telling you, that whatever that was did not want me there. I got the message, and I just left. I just kept driving. But
very
I assure
good.
You, had I stopped, I wouldn't be talking to you guys right now. So I mean, it's all about
not.
The safety.
They will let you go.
Oh, yeah, he let me know real quick. And I'll tell you something else. I never – when I first started doing this, and I told you about this a little bit ago, I always did this on my own. I always went solo because I didn't want to have to worry about anyone. You know what I mean? That was always my thing. I was like, I'm not worried about myself. I'll worry about someone else. I don't need the hassle, that kind of thing. And then I realized one day that's literally the dumbest thing I could ever do. You know, what happens, because I don't tell anyone I'm doing anything. I'm just going on doing it. Well, what happens if I don't come back? And I just turn into one of those missing people. So, I mean, that's so, you know, I've had a couple of different variations the way I've done my research, but now it's all about safety. And I'll tell you something, Daniel and I are real selective about who we let come with us, too. Because it's you know, if we don't both trust someone, they're not coming. And that's just the way it is. You have to be able to trust the people you're with. It's all about the safety. And you have to know your area.
I think that's a very important fact. If you're going to go out and do an investigation, to leave a written note or leave word with someone where you're going, what you're about to, you know, in aircraft, of course, that's called a flight plan. But I think what you're doing is probably called a fright plan.
Great phrase, Trey. Great phrase.
There we go.
Bringing that one in.
Love bubble in that.
Yep. I'm giving you that one. You can use that at your leisure.
We'll definitely use that one.
Trey, I'm writing it down.
That's also why when we go out, we take offerings as well. Because you think about it, you know, these things are much more intelligent than people give them credit for. And somebody walks in my house, I'm not going to be real happy with them. If I didn't invite them, I'm not going to be real happy. So there's a couple of reasons that we take those offerings as well. Is, you know, if there is something spiritual there, or if there is a Sasquatch there, then it's a peace offering. And you're exactly right. If they're not happy with you and they want you gone, they're going to make sure you're gone. And if you don't listen, they'll get louder.
You know, whenever we go to a dinner party, my wife will always bring a bottle of wine to give to the hostess. So you're doing the same thing. Now, you mentioned that it might be tobacco, or what are some of the offerings or hostess gifts that you bring to these encounters?
Well, tobacco is more
more
a spiritual thing. But Christian, we like to leave marbles.
Marbles.
You know, sweets are good. Anything like that, you know, they like the young ones like the marbles and the little toys and things like that. But yeah, just anything like that. And to touch on something else that Christian said, being selective about who goes with you, that's an energetic
right.
thing. If you have somebody there that just, they don't mesh, they're not happy to be there, they're a bad person, you know, they put off that bad vibe, you don't want that there, because they know, and they're not going to be happy.
That's
I mean,
very true. Pat McCray, do you have some comments on this little line of thought that we've got here right now?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
About the can he rephrase?
What do we need to rephrase for you, Pat?
Well, he's talking about all the gifts. Okay. I'll tell you, I used to go to a place in Indiana, and I would leave, you know, like rice and graham crackers and stuff like that. And surprisingly, they took it. And you always know when they take it is, you know, they don't tear it to shreds. Now, if you got a raccoon that comes up and, you know, the raccoons and stuff like that, they'll tear the whole box apart. But when the Bigfoot come, they won't tear it apart. And the thing is I think what people don't realize is that they have a storage where they store food. And like the food that you give them, they'll store that because, you know, down up north, you know, you got winter, and they have to do that because in wintertime you're not really going to, you know, nothing's growing and you're not going to have that much food unless you had it stored.
Okay. Something that I had not considered.
I agree with that.
That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, that makes perfect sense, actually.
Well, I mean, they've got like, you know, like those, like a root cellar almost, but, you know, just.
It's probably part of a tunnel system. I mean, I'm sure it's part of their tunnel system, you know.
Well, yeah, they've got a tunnel system, caves. I mean, we've seen them over here. Robin's seen them. Like, they'll run right into a side of a mountain, and they'll disappear right inside the thing. This is right down the road here by the swamp. And you know it's like a tunnel system.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Interesting, Pat. So, yeah, please go ahead. Was that Daniel?
Yeah, I was just commenting that the stockpiling behavior like that, that's just more proof of the intelligence.
Yeah,
well, I really think they're really very intelligent. They are.
Well, they're so intelligent they don't have to have money. I think that's the first mark of intelligence.
Mm-hmm. They don't pay taxes either. So there you go.
Yeah,
they're doing better.
There goes on
two things.
Well put, Pat. That was an excellent statement. They don't pay taxes, and they don't have any notion of money and foreign exchange and everything. They don't have to worry about rupees or rubles or Vladimir Putin or anything like that.
Yeah,
or going off
true.
The American dollar. You know, they don't care about that.
You're exactly right. Well put. All right, Chris Chastain, please weigh in. This conversation is getting very, very interesting, Anthony.
Yeah. So I was going to say, normally I take, when I do get to go out, you know, just, you know, doing some hiking and, you know, walking through possibly their living room or dining room, I like to take white rocks and white feathers, but I will say probably the most unique thing I ever took was an Egg McMuffin from McDonald's. And,
Let's get them hooked on Mickey D's.
I have a friend that I never knew. He saw me when I was out in the woods once, and the only reason I knew is through Robin. And I went back to that very spot, and I took him the Egg McMuffin, and I said, "Robin, can you let him know it's there?" And she said, "He said thanks. He's licking his lips. I really hope he ate it, because that's one thing you never get tired of is a McDonald's Egg McMuffin." But one thing I wanted to ask you guys is I have found that, you know, when I do go out, you know, looking around, you know, and I might not see anything or I might see a bunch of structures, but when I get back home, there's odd things that happen, like a random type animal shows up in the backyard. Like I live in the city limits, but here's a beautiful hawk or an owl showing up, or I've had a blinking orb on the porch before. So I was going to ask, do you guys feel like you get followed home sometimes? Do you have little odd things happen, you know, even long after you've left wherever you've been out investigating?
I mean, for myself, I don't, not really, but then again, you know, we'll stage ourselves before we get back in the cars or something like that. But, you know, sometimes something weird will happen, but not to the point where you think something followed you home. I mean, that's just for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, and Daniel's really he's much more sensitive on that kind of area, so that's definitely a question for him. Tiny, what do you think on that?
Well, I know for me, when I'm in an area that I feel is populated, when I leave, I actually ask for things not to follow me home. I have so many different odd things that it's just life for me. There's constantly something going on around me. And I have very old presences on my property where I live now. And they're very protective. And so I try when I'm in an area and doing any investigation, whether it's a paranormal investigation or a Bigfoot investigation or anything else, if we're out, you know, looking for UFOs, anything, I just make that statement. You know, I always thank them for allowing me to be there, to, you know, thank them for showing herself if they did, and, you know, please stay here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Because I have had stuff follow me home, and that's mm-hmm. been from paranormal investigations, and it was not fun. It took a little work to get it gone.
Yeah, that type of entity tagging along, that's frightening. So, wow.
Well, it really
Bigfoot. Yeah, Bigfoot. I'm not as afraid of, but you know, something, you know, that's possibly, you know, some type of unhappy spirit. Yeah, that's terrifying.
How would the unhappy spirit? How would the unhappy spirit manifest its presence for you to know it was following you home?
Typically, well, in my experience, the couple things that followed me home, they, I guess you could say, were mischievous. They moved things disappeared. TV would come on when it wasn't supposed to, lights would go off, things like that. And so close to it. I'm sorry?
Would you feel a heaviness? You know, like you come in the room and you feel like you're walking through jello, so to speak. A heaviness in the room. It's just like you can't put your finger on it, but it's like a heaviness in the room. And
yeah, absolutely.
Now,
that's a good question, Pat. It really is. I'd never heard of that phrase. It's like walking through jello, but I can understand that and I can feel what you're saying. It's like it's kind of hard to pick your feet up. You put it down, it's kind of hard to pick it back up again, so you're a little slow in moving forward. Is that correct?
Yeah, it. We've saged and stuff like that, and then Robin's done some stuff, and afterwards, there have been times when afterwards, it's like almost like a breath of fresh air because, you know, the before and after effect, there's no comparison. It's like you felt this heaviness and then all of a sudden it's just like, you know, like a commercial, like, you know, a Parquet butter commercial, you know, like the sun comes out and, oh my God, you know, like that, you know. That's kind of a weird way of saying it, but I mean, it's actually like that. And, you know, a lot of these Andes and stuff like that. I was in a car one day with, I think it was somebody that was in the black magic. And boy, this stuff that went through my mind, it was like, I'm sitting there, holy Toledo, what is this? It was just like, and the only way I could describe it, it was just absolutely pure evil. It's the only way. You just got to
cry. Yeah, I can describe it as my ex-wife.
All right, man. Look, let's hope the divorce is final, okay?
Sorry, guys. Couldn't help it. Couldn't help it.
Let's hope the divorce is final is all I got to say. They
absolutely can change the atmosphere, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they really can. And, you know, it's been good talking to you gentlemen about this because a lot of folks don't know what it's like going out into the woods. And you didn't talk about stories about, oh, well, we went to the first rock on the left and took a right. You talked about some of the feelings and some of the things that you understand, whether they're, I guess, physical or mental. You talked about those. And that's something, like, I want to share as we close Scarycast tonight. I want to share something that Jen Cruz of the She Squatcher, she is one of the most powerful psychics. I would have to say that she and Robin McRae are probably the two best at picking up vibes and understanding things. And Jen taught me something quite by accident. We were trying to locate a good, close, personal friend of ours. And I said, well, Jen, what do you think? She said, well, here's what I did. I sat there and I tried to feel what he was feeling in his body. And I got bad feelings in his throat, in his abdomen, and in one of his legs. And I thought, golly, that is like a smart thing to do. If you sit there and try to feel what a subject is feeling, that might be an interesting way to help figure out where they are or if they're in dire need or something. So, I mean, I learned something very important from Jen Cruz. And she's, you know, and then it was real funny, of course. I talked to Robin a little bit later today, and Robin says exactly the same thing and goes even farther. So it's like, you know, we got Jen and Robin are two of the most talented psychics absolutely in the world. And Pat, I hope you don't mind me calling your wife a psychic because she can absolutely pick up vibes from other people. Is that okay? Well, thank you. Yes, yeah, she really can, and she's so matter of fact about it. I love Robin. She's like my sister. And I've told her many times, I said, Robin, you just make me so mad. You are an irritating grandmother from Michigan, but you always seem to be on the right path and right. And she would just laugh because she knows it's the truth. She just, you know, Pat, you understand being married to her. She's just very matter of fact about everything, isn't she?
Yeah, very matter of fact. You're right.
She is, and it's great because, you know, when you have somebody like that, and I think Dr. Trey Dunaway and I have discussed this about Robin. She just, like, comes forth and just tells us the way it is and whatever. And it's really hard to deny what she says because I think Trey and I have learned in our previous lives that the more authoritative you talk, the more accurate people feel you are. Now, Trey, do you feel that way?
Yeah, Robin's very matter of fact. It's not like she's dissembling anything. She just describes things as she experiences them. Whether or not you believe it, she really doesn't care because she knows what she knows and she expresses what she understands and knows. And a lot of times she'll say, "I don't know why, but this is just I can't explain why, but this is what it was." And she doesn't feel the need to prove anything she says. It's like take it or leave it. This is what went on. This is what I felt. This is what I believe is going on. But I might not be right about that. But this is what I think. That's very frank and very open in a discussion, and appreciated.
And I've got to make a comment about what you just said. Robin is one of the very, and Jen Cruz, both of them, say, well, you know, I may be wrong, but this is what I think. And I think that is the hallmark of someone that is an intuitive. They know that they know what they think. Now, Pat, if you don't mind weighing in on what I'm going to say, is they know what they think, and they know what they believe, and they know what they perceive. But they always know they can be wrong. Am I correct, Pat?
When you do this stuff, I mean, you know, you focus on stuff, and a lot of times, and I've always said this, there's no manual for this stuff, and, you know, it's all by feel. Now, how can you think a feeling? You know, it's kind of weird. And it's that's exactly what you're doing. And you're feeling, but the thing is if you've done this enough, it's almost like second nature. It is, because you don't even think about it. And, you know, you talk to a certain Bigfoot or something like that. Well, you know it's him because you've felt him before. And I always say this, and it's the same thing for Jen Cruz and Robin and anybody else in this stuff. You don't know when you know it, you'll get it. And you won't know it till you get it, type of thing. And once you get it, you get it. You just know. And that's the thing. Once you're in it, you get it. You know. I mean, you just know. I mean, something happens, and it's almost like, yeah, that's what it was. And you don't even think about it or flinch. And that's when you know that it's right. That's the way I see it.
I mean, I agree with you. And I'm going to close with the following compliment and comment about our Surgeon General, Dr. Trey Dunaway. I have been around him a lot in the last 5 years. And I know that when he tells me something about symptoms of mine or symptoms of someone that I know, I feel his confidence, and I feel, Trey, that you're really probably right. And there's no real reason to doubt you. Now, I have, and I'm going to say something bad here, and please don't take this wrong, but I have met other doctors, and I don't believe a word they say. But it's like I think I know you very well, and I believe what you say is correct from not only experience but understanding people. So I'm sorry. I don't know why I want to give you that compliment, but I did, okay?
Well, thank you, John. That's very kind of you. But now do remember, as a general surgeon, we are always right. No brag. Just, I mean, you know, if you're going to believe anybody, you're going to believe a general surgeon because we're just that good. No, seriously, thank you, John. I think it's important to listen to a patient, listen to what they're saying, and then tell them what you think, but also tell them you can be wrong. And that's the thing. That's the thing about Robin in particular, is that, you know, if you talk to somebody who knows everything, absolutely certain, knows everything, they're lying. With Robin, she is absolutely the first one to say, I don't know if this is right or not, but I think this is how it is. And right there, that's an honest person giving you their best assessment. And in a similar way, sometimes that's how I speak to a patient, where I tell them what I think. And then I said, you know, we need to do some tests, but this is kind of where I'm going. I don't know if this is right or wrong, but we'll get to the bottom of it and we'll figure this out. And that's just a normal reaction when you're not truly godlike and absolutely infallible, because Lord knows, as a surgeon and any other doctor or psychic, you can be wrong.
And you know, that's what we have experienced tonight with our guests, Christian McLeod and Daniel Hurst, because they have said the same thing. They have said, here is what we've experienced, and here is what we think, but they've never said beyond a shadow of a doubt, because they don't know. But they're out there. But Christian and Daniel, you guys are going to have the last word. You got a minute apiece. But you guys have really said that we go out there, we see what we see, and we do our best to interpret it. Okay, Christian, am I correct? That's what you said, I hope.
That is exactly what we said. That's actually what's on our website. And everything we post, everything we talk about, we have never, ever, in my memory or ever recollection, said, this is it, this is the only thing it could be. We've always put it as, what's your opinion? This is what we think it is. It's possible. There's always a possibility of something else, but this is possibly what we found. This is the information we found. This is what we think we have. And that's the way we do business. I mean, you can't – is it possible to be wrong? Of course. And if anyone – I agree with the doc. Anyone says they know everything, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're making stuff up.
Yeah, they're lying.
That's
they're
the guy
just lying.
That's the one I don't want around me. I'm
going to have to give a round of applause to that statement. Anyone that says they know, they don't. And that's great, Trey. And I'm glad you quoted Dr. Trey on that, because you're 100% right. And Trey, thank you for saying that. I know that's a very common sense, ordinary argument, but it's the truth, and people need to remember that. That's what great surgeons do. They give you the best that they can give you. And that's why they're great surgeons.
And don't forget one of the cardinal rules of surgery.
Anesthesia?
No. If in doubt, cut it out.
Hey, yeah.
If in doubt, cut it out. That's it.
If in doubt, cut it out. Great.
Later. Oh, yeah. Cut now, think later. These are all surgical aphorisms we've learned. You know, a chance to heal is cold steel. That's the surgeon right there. Says it all.
Wow. Well, Trey, thank you very much. And
you're
Daniel,
welcome, John.
I guess, Daniel, you have the last word. We have said that you guys think – and you act on what you have learned. And I believe, and Daniel, I hope you'll agree with me, that's the way you do your research. So could you give us the final word and your final thoughts on this for ScaryCast tonight?
Absolutely. The thing is, with what we do, is the only true evidence is experience. And you can't prove experience. You can only relate experience. It's up to the other person to believe it or not, and that's one of the big difficulties of the field. We're all out here searching. We're all out here looking. We're all out here exploring. There's nothing certain, and that's part of the reason why I, for one, do it. It's interesting. It's flowing. It's ever-changing. And it's a way to learn. Will there ever be true certainty? I hope so, but probably not in my lifetime. But that's part of the fun of it, the hunt. So,
oh my goodness,
yeah, there are
what a great statement. Daniel, what a great statement. Yeah. So look, I want to thank you, Daniel, and I want to thank you, Christian, for being our guest tonight. I would like to thank our superior co-hosts. We're missing Robin McRae, but we've got Pat McRae. We've had Dr. Trey Dunaway. We've had Chris Chastain. And I've tried to moderate as best I could. And I think we've had a lot of fun. We have learned a lot from each other. And darn it, we're going to be back next week on the one, the only Scarycast. Now, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Matt Delph and I and Kyler Smith will be there for Scarycast Tuesday. And on Thursday night, it will be myself, it will be Kyler Smith, and it will be Ryan Trembley of Monster. It's like, golly, I got so many names. It'll be Ryan Trembley of Monster Radio. We're going to have a great guest. We got more great guests next week. We've got the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference, Burnsville, North Carolina. It's going to be wonderful because Bigfoot has promised me one thing. People are going to enjoy the Burnsville, North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. So we're glad to be there with Bigfoot. And Corbin, who's our host at the Civic Center there. So I want to thank everyone for being here tonight. We're going to be there next week, we're going to be there on June the 17th. But next week we'll be back on Scarycast. So I would like for everybody to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.